What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other crap. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support. And again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson. Against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. We have a little all-star flair to us today, and we'll start there. So I'm Robbie. These are my two co-hosts. How you doing, guys?
I'm probably not as good as you landing Luka Doncic in the most ridiculous trade ever, but hey.
Now, I was going to ask you, Robbie, are you more likely to buy a pair of Jordan Lukas now that he's actually a part of Laker Nation?
No, but...
Didn't change a thing.
No, and he's been wearing, like, Jordan 1, like, fat. He's been wearing, like the really, like, cheap Jordan 1 lows in all the press conferences. Luka is that person I'm referring to. He's not wearing, like, cool OG 1 lows. He's wearing, like, the inline... Champs Air Jordan 1 lows. He's a young father like both of you, and it's hilarious how he rocks the young old dad swag Jordan 1 lows. If there's like all that to say, if there's a Luka Jordan 1 like Lakers color, something like a retro Luka Laker, interested. Luka technical model Lakers, not particularly.
I was slightly annoyed because when the news hit, my mind was like, you know what? That Sunday white with 77 is going to look great. So I went on to all the normal usual suspect websites, Fanatics, Nike, waiting to see if it would drop.
Yeah.
And the thing that's most interesting to me is the fact that Fanatics offers you that customization of that Sunday white.
Mm-hmm.
But they also give you the option of, hey, you can also pick from the pre-based player template. The only person conspicuous in that, and then absence rather, sorry, I'm struggling today, is Luka Doncic. Like, they have Maxi Kleber, they have the other gentleman that they've acquired from the Mavericks, but for whatever reason, you cannot put Luka Doncic in the Sunday white. And then I was like, okay, let me try to put in his actual nameplate. And lo and behold, that seems to be the issue because of the fact that he's got some special characters. I think it's the two C's and the I, maybe. That's not going to happen. So I'm hoping that somebody can bless me with that Sunday white Luka 77 because that looks cool. Other than that, I'm waiting to see how they do come playoff time because they will be an interesting out.
Well, Rohit, let's start there. What are you looking to rock and cop then if you're looking for a Sunday white Luka jersey?
What I've been rocking lately, and I've been getting a lot of compliments on it, has been the Sabrina 1 Spark colorway. And it was just one of those things where I'm like, like it's turned into a beater pair of mine. Like Robbie mentioned, we're all young dads. So at this point, whatever is the closest shoe is the best shoe for you to wear outside. But I would say over the last week, within hours of coming onto campus or even like doing my day-to-day errands, I will get stopped and I'll be like, hey, what are those? Those are really great. And I'm like, hey, maybe that is going to be the Sabrina 1 legacy. It's going to be a sleeper sneaker, which I don't think any of us anticipated because I think right now the narrative around that was it's a great technical shoe because it's apparently the NBA player's favorite shoe, but it does turn heads in the street.
Yeah.
And as for copping, I think I put in for the Kobe 9 Masterpiece raffle for Dark Side Initiative. If I get it, great. If not, maybe I'll be able to get my hands on those black labels, but that's a topic for later down the episode. Mike, what about you? What are you rocking? What are you copping?
Yeah, rocking. I actually got it next to me because I've been wearing these nonstop since I got them, but copper foams.
Nice.
I love these shoes. I was like, I've never actually owned a pair of foams, so being able to actually finally have one instead of just like looking at them, drooling at them from afar, super cool. Actually, once you break them in, they're really comfortable. because of that, the way they fit to you or mold to your foot. So I love that. And sticking in that same foam category, I am going to do all, you know, in reasonable effort to put in for the Galaxy foams that come out on the 21st. That's really the next thing I'm kind of locked in on.
Yeah, Mike. And actually, Rohit, I would tell if I worked at a particular employer, I'd be like, you don't know what shoes these are? They're like a year and a half old and you work here. That's just me.
To be honest, I got more of that from, let's say, civilians as opposed to people within the
organization.
Yeah,
I was like, you need to have a product like, refresher for your biggest, one of your biggest athletes. You know what that shoe is.
Absolutely. But listen, like Nick Engvall always says, there's always somebody that's going to be smitten with sneakers for the very first time every day. So if that's that person and this shoe is that shoe for them, well, I can't kind of gatekeep in that regard, even if they're.
Oh, no, you got to tell them.
Yeah, but you gotta let them know what's up.
You gotta tell them, but if you're around the pond and you don't know what that shoe is, step up.
Soldier boy, speaking of telling them, what are you rocking? What are you copping?
Speaking of which, the answer four is what I've been rocking. Nothing crazy, nothing fancy. Just it's been kind of raining, and when it's raining, it's really nice to be able to do this. So
wait, so now you like a shroud? You like a shroud?
No, I don't. I don't like it. But for a rain shoe, they're all muddy on the bottom. They're ready to go. But they it's more of a defensive shoe than a strapped shoe. I don't keep the strap on me for offense. I keep the strap on me for defense.
Pew, pew.
Right? That made a lot of sense. and also, I want to cop the Foamposite. Do not get me wrong. That's a shoe I'd pay $230 for. But if they try to Air Jordan one-ification of it, like the bread, miss
not
me going to
be happy if that's
we'll
be the case.
Because what I wanted to rock... I know I reached out to some people wanting to pay full retail. I wanted the Pegasus Premium. You know, I travel a lot. I run a lot. I'm looking for – always looking for a running shoe or like a tech shoe that looks good with like normal shorts and when I'm trying to get like a 5K in. And I saw that shoe. I've been hearing press about it for easily 6 months. That shoe got delayed to the Paris Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So at least 6 months now of just this shoe's good. It's this. It's that. It's the new – Frontier of Air Max, this, that, and the third, right?
Yeah.
Try to buy a pair sold out. Can't get them on Dick's. Can't get them anywhere. Only available on StockX.
Yeah. Well, which, you already know that first
sneaker life. And right, already like for 90% of shoes, I would think, oh yeah, like a Travis Scott. Sure, they've marketed the hell out of it. It's hot, but. I reached out to some people at Nike and it's like asked some questions about it. They were kind of scared of that shoe. They didn't know if it would do so hot. So there aren't a lot of pairs of them. Why would you market that shoe like this is the next great thing? And then guess what? You can't have it. And then I did some other researching. A lot of leaders at Nike got the shoe seated to them. And then they were told to tell the employees, like, look on Nike.com. They're not on employee discount. You can't get them anywhere. So like your employees can't have the shoe. People who want to spend $230, $220 on a shoe, who haven't spent that much money on a shoe in a long time, are willing to give you that money. And you're just like, yeah, go to StockX, pay $400 for them. Like, come on now.
That's wild.
I mean, all that to say, like, On will release, like, the PAF collection, really high-quality stuff. You could buy them at any – like, they have full-size runs everywhere. You want the top On premium shoe? You can go get it right now. You want the premium Hoka? You can go get it. You want to get the Evo from Adidas? It's a little harder to get, right? Like the top stuff. But guess what? You can find it. Like you do some research, you can find it. You do not do 6 months of Olympic marketing just to tell your potential consumers maybe the next colorway that comes out in May. May is supposed to be the next colorway.
It is supposed to be the next colorway.
Wait,
to me,
May? The black May. Are supposed to...
No, I thought it was March, Robbie.
There's a black pair on the website right now.
I could
now.
Be dyslexic, and I've got the my M's mixed up.
Okay, okay. I was like, dang, I ain't waiting
I know it was M month. So maybe it might be March.
As many M's in the bank account as Robbie, it's foreseeable. Like, it happens.
It's tough.
It is tough.
It's a hard life out there.
No, it's just like, I could point to a lot of different brands. It's like, you're offering something as like a utility running shoe. This is not, it's a Pegasus ultimately, right? You're trying to show off that the Pegasus is no longer a piece of cardboard with the smallest zoom unit you could fit in it. Like, this is now a premium running shoe. And guess what? You can't have it. Like,
yeah.
Cool, bro. Like, that's literally my reaction. I text some people, cool.
For me, I come in the same boat. I wanted that one, but I've seen any new runner that comes out, the first colorway, like when they first introduced the Pegasus Turbo, that first color sells out, so I didn't even bother. Honestly, I was like, oh, if I trip and stumble upon them, cool, I get them. But the way they built this sucker up for the past 6-7 months has been to really put their, I don't know, I don't want to say put their hat back in the ring, because clearly tons of people still are, Nike is one of the leading runners, so it's not like they're losing anything, but this new innovative kind of crosses the line between casual and tech runner. This was bound to happen because it's meant for everybody. Like you said, you can run a 5K, go grab lunch. You can do a lot of things in this shoe, and I feel like that's like it had a very cross demographic appeal, and that's sold out like that.
To me, and maybe this is just me being so far in the forest I can't see the trees, I always find it kind of contradictory that you're going to put a premium tag to the Peg, because the Pegasus is probably one of the most non-luxurious, non-splashy, like literally the brand of it was built on comfort. And it was one of those things that if you have big feet, like I have a BBF, a big Brazilian foot, if you will, I would only go with the Pegasus because that's the only one that worked. And in a way, it was a barrier of entry for me because I never wanted to run because most running shoes tend to be narrower. And it's one of those things where, okay, like I get that you are proud to have this shoe kind of usher in that quote unquote new era that people are associating with the new leadership at the company. But at the same time, not everything deserves to be on sneakers. I think one of my most famous rants was me yelling about the fact that the Flygoes, a shoe that's meant to be accessible, was put on sneakers of all things. And this just feels like another page in that direction. You're taking a brand, you're taking a model that has always been one for the people. Lack of a better term, and you guys let me know if I'm speaking out of base, the Peg to me is the running equivalent of a Monarch. It's just built to get one job done, which is get some miles in, and then you go home, take it off, and wear whatever it is you need to wear to recover. And I understand that you want to change the narrative around it. You want to make sure that you broadcast to the world, hey, not only is this a new shoe, but we're almost a new company in a sense. But this ain't it. But that's just the opinion of one employee and not that of the entire corporation.
I agree with you, man.
Totally. And like, there was a narrative chance here to shift away from something that's been so big that MSNBC does videos on YouTube about why Nike's fallen. Like, that's how, like, this wide news information about how Nike's been hurting, especially in the running world. Every single MSNBC video is about Nike compared to Hoka on, you know, name your brand, right?
Yeah.
There's always a little video about it. You can go look on YouTube, MSNBC. There's at least 5 videos on it. I watch every single one of them, and I laugh about the reporting on it. But anywho, all that to say is you had a real chance to be like, we are still a leader in this space. We helped invent this running space. Here is our flagship shoe. Go buy it anywhere you can buy sneakers. But and they're just like, fuck that, no.
It is the new flagship. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, would we have ever, prior to the existence of this shoe, consider the Pegasus the flagship of a runner?
They chose, I mean, in my opinion, I wouldn't have even called that shoe a Pegasus. It looks nothing like a Pegasus. I would have branded it a completely new model. Because when you look at it side by side to a Pegasus 4041, they're nothing at all. It's like night and day in a good way. Like,
Rohit,
you're right. That is like it's your go-to. It's your somebody who, my stepdad, for example, has a gray pair of Pegasuses and he wears them around, but like, they're built cheaply. They're made to be replaced a lot. They're an annual shoe. Like, that's what hurt your business model from a running perspective. Ultra high premium shoes that aspirational runners love that cost too much, or really, really simple running shoes that are a little too simple. And that's how all these other brands came and filled that middle space. The Pegasus Premium could have been your entry back into that middle space. A little expensive, not too expensive, great in all occasions. Wear it through the city, wear it on a track, wear it wherever.
Yeah,
and just, you don't make it available.
Yeah. It could have been comparable to it should have been in the same lane as the Cloud, on Cloud Monster. It should have been the same price point, because that one you're going to get for $180. This $30 price bump to get this sucker to $210 is wild to me. I don't know why Nike has to have this baseline of $210. Like, it's just like, hey, it's no matter what it is, $210.
I mean, it's the new tech. I'm okay with the price tag. Like, it not On being cheaper than the Pegasus Premium, that doesn't bother me. But you're right. That's like when you look at On's Cloud Monster 2, like that's their premium running shoe that you could wear walking around that everybody loves.
And I can get it anytime I want.
Yeah, anywhere you want. The Pegasus Premium if you put them side by side, that shoe could smash the Monster. If you could go buy them at a Roadrunner, or you could buy them at Dick's, or you could buy them at Foot Locker, like you can buy the Cloud Monster. But because the Cloud Monster is such good word of mouth and it's everywhere, people keep buying it. I can't tell anybody the Pegasus Premium is good because I can't buy a pair. I can't find a pair. So the word of mouth is stunted by your lack of availability when this is like a Pegasus. You chose to market, you chose to put the Pegasus name on it, make it everywhere. And if it flops, what Pegasus hasn't been on sale the last decade, at least?
So do you think that was a bit of CYAing in a sense that it's like, let's call it a Pegasus, let's have it kind of be ushered into that narrative just in case it fails? Because right now things can be viewed as, I would say, not necessarily dire, but there are quote unquote desperate times ahead. Well,
and you had a hit, right? There are desperate times, but this is a hit. This is a banging shoe.
That was a guaranteed winner because it wasn't sneakerheads buying that at all. Like Robbie said, it's for your 5K or it's for your, you know, dads, me and you, Roy, who just want something dope looking that's comfortable. It was for everybody. So they didn't have to play this, like Robbie said, people were scared of it. They didn't have to play that game because that was a guaranteed sale. I could guarantee you that if this would have been widely available, I would have seen so many people walk around that shoe around, like, especially the area where I live, on Hoka is, like, super, like, popular amongst the general public here. And it's, again, this game of false scarcity that they're trying to play, again, not only to generate this false hype, but also, like you said, CYA, because I can get rid of, I hate to use the bread ones as this example right now, but I can easily get rid of 10,000 pairs with, like that, right? I can get rid of a small amount, but if I mass produce it and for some reason it goes on sale, people look at that as a failure, a brick, something sitting, and I have to justify that to stockholders, shareholders, you know, all that good stuff. So now it's this game of, okay, let's do the small batch, play that game. I honestly, for my love of Nike, I still don't think this is a good idea. I don't think it's the way to play the game because people are not going to, there's too many other things going on for me to spend my time trying to chase down a Pegasus Premium. For me to chase down anything that's a sneaker right now, I'm not chasing anything. If I can get it, great. If not, guess what? I'm moving on to the next thing at this point. I don't have the time or energy to go out playing this. Okay, I got to go here. Okay, well, let me go to Dick's. Or let me go to Fleet Feet. Let me go to see the Nike store has it. I don't have that time. And again, in a sense of word, time is money. And I'm not going to spend it on trying to chase down a Pegasus of all things.
I mean, not only that, right? Like, what other shoe came out this week from Nike?
There's another Air Max shoe.
Like crickets, the DNA.
The DNAs, right? And like, to me, it's also kind of sending this, I would say, conflicted message of the fact that you've got the premium. The DNA had some decent pub behind it. Like, I think it was the shoe of Wemby whenever they were doing the NBA France thing last couple of weeks. But then at the same time, like, what would you want a consumer to prioritize? Because we are living in, I will say this, we are living in dire financial times for a lot of people, and it's not going to get easier with certain geopolitical actions about to take place. But at the same time, like, we cannot lavishly spend on sneakers if we can hardly get a carton of eggs, if you are to believe certain videos from Costco. So it's one of those things where make it a little bit easier for us. And I get that there has been a recent pivot, I would say, in the last decade that Nike views itself as a luxury company. And there are certain barriers of entry that come with being a luxury company, so to speak. You want to make sure that it is a little bit harder to get the product because you want to cherish the product. But then at the same time, change the branding. Change every aspect of it. And it's easy for me to say this as a nameless, faceless worker, but then at the same time, it would just make a lot of more sense because I think we're big on this, and especially me, you have to win the press conference before you can win the game. And right now, I thought they had won the press conference, but it seems more and more that at best it was a tie.
So, go ahead, Robbie.
No, I mean, I just wanted to get on to other topics, but with this last thing, at the end of the day, it's a great-looking shoe. Frustrated we couldn't get a great-looking shoe.
Yeah.
And it's like you have a boxer, and it's a prize boxer, but if the trainer wasn't behind the boxer, so the boxer didn't succeed. And the last point being, you brought up the DNA. Even look back at the 270, 720, the Air Max 2021. You put all those shoes, and you're like, doesn't look right. Put the Pegasus Premium next to all of those. You can see which one is the good shoe. It's the premium, right? So it's like you've had some fumbles. You made a crap ton of Air Max 2021s. Those flopped the hell out of the store. I get why the hesitancy exists. But like, look at your past mistakes. Look at what you have in hand now and be like, this is not what we had. This is the success. We had to fight five dragons to get the princess. We got the princess now. Make a lot of the princesses.
Well, like, let's do this. This is a perfect segue to what we're going to talk about next. So as you just have to pick your battles. Pegasus, not limited. That should not be. But we talk about the next thing, this Black Label Collection for All-Star Game. Yeah, that's fine. That is something special to a game. That is something you're trying to do. Again, that's what you generate hype with. You have an event. You have your star players out there. Let's make something that is special to the area for whatever reason, whether it's just this one's just premium materials, I guess. Well, quote unquote, because I haven't seen them in hand. But you have to figure out what you want to make limited and make it make sense. Pegasus should never be limited. But these, we could talk about this next. Even though I'm not the biggest fan of the design, I can understand, okay, these are my all-stars. They're all going to be in the Bay. Let's give the Bay something special for this event. And that's okay being limited. You guys see where you follow me here?
Yeah.
Yep. All-star, go ahead, Robbie.
I was just going to put a little bit of groundwork in there. What Mike's saying is each of the shoes, like LeBron, for example, was born in 1984. There is 1,884 pairs. Sabrina was born in 1997. There is 1,997 pairs. Like, that's where the limited, that's what Mike was talking about, listeners. So for each birth year of each of the signature athletes, that's how many of the shoes are in existence. Go ahead, Rohit.
No, I was just going to say, it's a cool concept. It makes a lot of sense. You're tying it to a pinnacle event. And this is the Sneaker History Podcast, so we'd be remiss if we didn't mention some bit of nostalgia. We all grew up in the era where All-Star Games was one of those events that were like, oh, I can't wait to see what Nike's got cooked up for us today.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all this is not like a big theme, like it's not really Bay themed. We're getting a premium theme. I don't agree with all of them, but again, it's giving you that feeling, oh, cool, All-Star Game, because we really haven't had anything special in a long time. For the All-Star Game, I feel like it's just kind of been, as of late, just retroing past product and nothing new. Like, they would have this theme like, oh, this, we're in Florida, so it's NASA or Houston, the area, you know, the alien stuff, the Area 71 or 72, whatever it was. So I feel like we're getting back there. This is the first step, so I can appreciate that. But some of these, like, I look at this Ja 2, this Swarovski, I can never say that without feeling like I have a mouthful of spit. But $550 is obscenely wild for a Ja 2 to be like, hey, we're not, I don't even talk about Ja Morant anymore.
Yeah. I mean, that's a tough point. But both of you bring up an important point in that it is an event. None of these shoes are for me. I don't need a black and gold with like a knockoff big black, rest in peace, my guy, logo on the tongue. But there's always been a history of Nike basketball releasing limited edition, special occasion basketball shoes for either All-Star or a player's milestone achievement, whatever it might be. So I'm cool with it. I just don't think, like, I mean, who cares? Not that nobody cares, but just who does care? Like, there's only 1,997 Sabrina 2s. That's a bad example. That's probably the one that people care about the most of all of the shoes releasing in that pack. But like LeBron's 1984 pair, right? I mean, 1984. Yeah, 84. It's just like, who's checking for a black and snakeskin LeBron, except hardcore LeBron fans, which do exist. And I hope that they are the ones that actually get the pairs, because to them, like, oh, I have one of the, you know, birth year 2020, one of his last All-Star games, 2025 All-Star game LeBron shoes. If someone's stoked on that, hell yeah, be stoked on that, brother. Like, get off, like, do your thing. But like, to Mike's point, like, two Ja 2s, one of them being $500, one being in line, when there's already multitudes of Ja 2 colorways on sale at various retailers as we speak. It's like, how much, like, and is Ja ever going to be LeBron? Like, that's where it gets difficult, right? I mean, like, Sabrina got a pretty damn good legacy. Mm-hmm. Giannis, pretty damn good legacy. But, like, who's going to be checking 50 years from now for the 2025 Giannis Greek Freak 6 limited edition black and gold Bay Area All-Star shoes?
Like, I mean, they might have that person. It just really, again, it's all, there's a person for all these things. And the most exciting one to me is going to be the Kevin Durant, because he's actually releasing a new model. Although, I feel like KD releases a new shoe every 6 months.
True.
But this one, I mean, I like, again, the fact is based off the Terra Humera. I like that design language. I'm waiting for a different color to come up, some of the more ACG-inspired things. But at least we're getting a new model in that package. And the packaging itself, that's what we were talking about before, I think is really cool. It's just, again, I don't need an all-black you know, fill in the blank, you know, whatever. Yeah.
And can we stop putting Wemby in the GT Hustle 3 too? That shoe is a Fugazi looking basketball shoe. Like, he deserves, why he doesn't have his own shit. That shoe should have been made last summer, but like, he needs to be put. Even I would rather see Wemby in the Greek Freak 6. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, this, you could put him in something else. That's a Fugazi looking shoe, man.
Here's the thing. As the resident Wemby collector / fanboy, if I can get my hands on it, great. But it's also one of those things, to the earlier point, I'm not going to go out of my way to try and find these. Other thing, kind of off the beaten path in terms of a topic. Kudos, Nike. You got a woman to admit her age and use it as a marketing point. So good job.
There you go.
I didn't think about that. That's hilarious.
But I mean, like, oh, I mean, the Sabrina has made so many good colorways. I mean, that is one I do legitimately like, that Sabrina 2. I don't like the B on it. Again. But like, it's a good looking basketball shoe. I could also bite myself in the butt and say, why are there only 1,997 pairs? Make more for the people. But there's enough Oregon stands out there. There's enough Liberty fans out there. Those will do well.
Yeah, but to your point as well, Robbie, like, one of the things about any All-Star game is the fact that it's going to get more visibility on it than any normal game. Like, you are getting a heightened media presence from not only domestic but international. So if anything, maybe add a couple thousand to each shoe and see how that does. Because I guarantee you, if somebody actually takes the time and effort to find out where the All-Star game is on their television set and watch it, they're going to fall in love with a player that they may not have proper access to, which is saying something, because we live in the golden age of accessibility. Now, that being said, I still think this is more of a canary in a coal mine, to borrow the bad pun, especially as it relates to dark colorways. But this is a test balloon. I think if things go well, I could see them usher in a new era of, like, okay, we've got a fresh roster of athletes that feels like you've got a couple of old heads in LeBron and KD. You've got a couple of young guys now, in the sense that Ionescu and Wemby are kind of leading that next generation. It's on them now to capitalize on that and start making fans for the younger generation, so they have something to talk to with their dads, their older brothers, their uncles, their aunts, whomever.
Yeah. No, most definitely. And as we talk about All-Star releases, I should have probably pulled the date up, but I think it comes out the 13th as well. But switching brands, Reebok. They're coming out with their first basketball shoe, and was it?
Since 2015.
Years? So, okay. So, yeah, we're right at 10 years. And the Engine A. And I have to say, I mean, looking at this shoe, the Engine A, and looking at all these Black Label shoes, I'm more excited about the Reebok, not only because it's new, but we're getting, it is something that they, it is flashy in a sense, with this first colorway as being a metallic silver. Their updated technology with the ERS, the energy return system, not only put it in the heel, but for the first time, if I'm not mistaken, after talking to the friends over at Reebok, this is the first time I think they put it into the forefoot of a sneaker as well. So they retooled some old tech to make it better. And, I mean, unfortunately, I don't think they have anybody in All-Star game wearing this sneaker, to my knowledge. But really cool. We're getting a new basketball shoe. That's what we got used to, getting something new in All-Star game, something exciting. Because we look forward to this time not only for our big three to have this awesome colors of their new shoes, but also this is typically when Jordan used to release something brand new. And now we're getting, hey, you know what, Reebok, say, you know what, let's do it. Let's jump into something new. And I think this is really cool.
It's really cool. And I mean, if I can make the rare cross brand comparison, it gives me a lot of Harden 9 vibes in a sense. And I don't know if it's the fact that it's that silver silhouette that they're using to debut, but feels like a spiritual cousin, if you will.
Yeah.
What I like about it is, from a marketing perspective, the Engine A, Engine A is a type of engine, if people didn't know. And Angel having kind of an unstoppable engine in terms of, like, is she going to be like the most offensively gifted player? No. But is her engine always at a high running level? Yes. Like, she's not going to stop working. She's going to out-rebound you. She's going to outwork you. And not just that, but her personality, I don't get it personally, but she connects with so many people and she's so likable and her following is so big. The shoe looks cool. It looks futuristic. Shiny is in, like, Y2K. Totally dope. It's like her style. The naming convention is good. It fits her on the court brand. I don't have anything negative to particularly say about the shoe. I would play in them right now, says the guy who played in his LaMelo balls for 5 pickup games yesterday. My MBO 2.
Did you swerve on that corner? Like, whoa.
I,
it was a good pickup game weekend. But like, there's like a lime green colorway I've seen too. Not like a lime green, but like a Voltage, like zombie green. And I think that looks way better than the silver. Like that Voltage glow in the dark looking green, dope. And go ahead.
What I'm excited about is that this is not an Angel signature shoe. So I'm really seeing what they're going to go ahead and do with her shoe now. If this is just their general shoe. This is their new basketball outing. This is their team shoe right now. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with her signature. And I guess anybody else.
It is the signature shoe.
No, that's not hers.
We can look that up, listener, while you continue to ponder on these great topics.
But this is just their general.
I assumed it was kind of a Zoom generation thing where they may backdoor it in, as in when the Angel line continues to be more successful, they can say, well, this was the unofficial first shoe. But, I mean, we'll see. That being said, it's going to be very interesting because, to your point, Robbie, like, there is a generational gap in a good way that maybe we're not supposed to be the core audience for Angel Reese and her shenanigans and antics, because the best thing I can talk about with regards to Angel Reese is she's got a little bit of Ricky Davis in her, and the fact that she's not willing to let the legitimacy of a game get in the way of padding some stats and getting some extra rebounds.
I mean, I really thought because of Angel, she debuted the shoe against the Indiana Fever. I guess I'm wrong. The naming convention, I thought Angel engine name. I guess I should have done that for them. They should have
also thought that, Robbie. Me. So you're not alone.
Interesting. Either way, though, it's still a really cool looking shoe.
Asia Wilson.
For sure.
Asia Wilson. You mean the Cosmic Unity 2? 3? The third time they're doing that shoe?
That's interesting.
Go ahead.
I've seen the shoe in person. I was fortunate enough to actually be my Robbie self and play some pickup yesterday. And one of the gentlemen we were playing against had the shoe on foot. Looks decent on the court. It's the comparison I'm going to make is whenever we talk about the Sabrina, we inevitably always tie it back to Kobe for narrative reasons, for aesthetic reasons. I think what the Sabrina did for the Kobe is what Asia is going to do for the KD line. I feel like there's a very similar connective tissue between those two shoes. And I'm really interested to see if other people also see that or if this is just a road thing. But I don't know, for whatever reason, whenever I see the Asia Wilson shoe next to a KD shoe, it really stands out to me that they, like we were talking about earlier, feel like siblings in a collective family tree.
Yeah.
I like that they're cheap. They're $110. Go ahead, Mike. They're cheap. That's
the best
good.
Part about the ladies.
No, yeah. That's actually a perfect kind of segue to what I was going to say, because I didn't know the pricing, and I saw the breakdown. I guess wear testers, I'm sure Nike did as well. I just didn't see it there. But they had the breakdown of the shoe, like really split up and with the pieces. I was really questioning the technology put in the shoe, because all they said is cushioning. Like they didn't tell me what it was. Is it Phylon? Is it Kushlon? Is it what is it? Is React? I'm sure it's not React because of the price point. But I was really surprised that they made it very bare bones, like no Zoom units in it. I want to try the shoe out. I love the way it looks, but I really wonder how it performs and how long it lasts before, bottom out, things like that. And what was the thought process behind creating a shoe with, I guess, not a named tech when you have such a very high profile athlete?
But maybe it goes back to what we were chatting about earlier. Nike has a tried and true playbook of how they bring certain shoes to life. And the one thing I always kind of anticipate whenever Nike debuts a new signature silhouette is the fact that that first shoe is going to be very affordable, all things considered. I think the KD one was $95, almost like at a core performance price. I feel like the Kyrie one was at like this 110, 120 perspective. Sabrina feels that way as well. So I think there is going to be that tried and true methodology of let's usher it in as gently as possible. I think right now they did a good job. We were talking about the Peg Premium. For me, that initial launch colorway wasn't that scintillating. But now, this hot pink number that we've got with the Asia 1, that's memorable. That's memorable in the best way. That's what's going to turn heads whenever you look at it, whether it be on a shoe wall, whether it be on the basketball court, or if somebody's wearing it out and about in public. Although I think Asia Wilson has explicitly said these shoes are meant for hooping. Slides, there's a matching calm slide that comes with it. That's what you wear when you're not hooping.
Yeah, the pink is her favorite color. It looks really good. Subtle different hints of pink in there. It's not just one flat pink. Looks really nice. But they think they're slick. They use the exact same Pearl photo, like the Pearl reasoning that they use for the LeBron 21.
Comment.
I went and Googled it. It's the exact same photo. LeBron's daughter, he protects his daughter with the oyster. She's the pearl and he's the oyster shell. So they kind of have a clam-like, an oyster-like shell on the outside of the shoe for protective. And they did the exact same fucking story. It's just like, Asia likes oysters. I guess clams. Asia likes clams. I don't know. But it's a lazy design. It's a good design though, right? If it's not broken, don't fix it. Like the whole like circular, like radial looking side panels look really good. They're cheap, which I like. They look good. I love Asia. So above all, that's my girl.
It's a really good continent. Oh, okay.
Not just she's my girl, man. She rocks. But you can't tell me that she was just like, not to open up too big of a can of worms here, but for the past couple of years, Nike basketball is just reusing whatever pieces they have on various shoes to like keep costs down. So that Asia one looks like, oh shit, we got some pieces. Put it together. But it looks good. It looks good.
Let me ask you guys this from a signature spokesperson perspective. Is Asia the most charismatic and captivating person Nike's had in a long time?
No, because they use her for like one thing. Like, they don't use her enough. It's still a man's world. I think
we're about to enter our Asia era, so to speak. I mean, she was one of the faces of the Olympic catalog. And for me, I always kind of utilize those big global events as Nike's test focus group of, okay, who do we want to put on the front of the poster and the front of that packaging material? So she's prominently featured on that. She's about to get her signature shoe. Lord willing, she gets more signature shoes on top of that. She's very funny. She's very charismatic. I think she had that recent speech at South Carolina where you can see a bit of that personality come through. And you're like, I get it. I get why she's this rallying force that Las Vegas Ace fans get behind, the team gets behind. She is the face of women's basketball in my mind right now, with all due respect to Caitlin Clark and Sabrina Ionescu, because they're so young in their career. It feels like Asia is a little bit more established.
Yeah. No, I can see that. And when I think of WNBA, like I said, that's the three people, or yeah, three individuals I think of: Asia, Sabrina, and then Caitlin. So that's the really, yeah, I can see that. And I think she is probably the most outspoken of the group, where she's noticeable amongst all basketball fans, I feel like. I mean, at least those who pay attention. So I would hope that she's going to get the best treatment possible to not only just have this one, but have at least a few shoes, which sucks about that. I mean, I don't know how old she is, so I don't know how many, you know, how many years she has left in the tank. Is she? Okay. So I feel like she's been playing for a long time now. I was like, man, how many is she actually going to get? How long is she going to be on court?
28.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah, she's young.
She's in her prime right now.
For sure. So with her accomplishments and I'm sure the things she's going to achieve again, I'm sure there's another MVP in the tank for her as well. So I think they could do a lot with her. A lot of cross-branding they do with, like, Sabrina, like, bringing them into, like, the, you know, the NBA All-Star game, maybe, you know, three-point contest, skills games. A lot of cross-branding capabilities, I feel like, that will give this shoe a good push. I just hope, like you say, Roy, like, after this first shoe, they start kind of, instead of putting spare pieces together and giving you, oh, here's a shoe, let's get some more individuality. Let's not skimp on what, you know, Asia's bringing to the table.
Yeah, and this analogy just popped in my head, right? We're all video game fans, obviously, but I think we were also the same generation where Madden was kind of the be-all, end-all. It was like the start of the school year because it always came out in August. And it was one of those things when Robbie mentioned the Frankenstein approach of, hey, let's just throw random things together and make it a new basketball shoe. It's the same concept of Madden would always have a new functionality, and then you would find that same functionality a year later in the college football game, and that's kind of how it feels. Now, that being said, I do like the fact that I don't know if we're ever going to get the heights of sneaker salesmen, in this case saleswomen, the way that we did with the Kobe, KD, LeBron, Holy Trinity. But it seems like, if I'm putting my thinking hat on, maybe they're trying to recreate that magic, so to speak, with Sabrina, Asia, and Caitlin Clark, because there's no question she's about to get her own debut shoe within the next 18 months, if not sooner. So something to watch for from my eyes of, okay, we're going to see the continual uprising of women's basketball, and it's a great thing because they are just as captivating, they are just as entertaining, it's just as intense of a game. Now we're going to see that, hey, it also applies outside the court as well, because they're getting the same advertising dollars, and in some instances, they're taking those advertising dollars away from the men, and that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, man.
All those advertising, yeah. No, give me okay. Anywho, that's probably a good ending spot. Good shoes though, some good stuff coming out. New models, very exciting, making new sneaker history. If you're looking for a pair of Bred ones, God bless you. I hope it went well.
I was like, let us know if you guys get a pair. Cause I'd be really interested to see how many people actually get their hands on them.
Also, we might be sneaker history at this point with the ladies getting all the shine on the signature. Well,
we'd love to see it. All right, listeners, thanks so much for tuning in with us. I'm not realizing I just said my co-host. I didn't say Mike and Rowett, but hopefully at this point,
they know who we are.
These two guys
were
Mike and Rowett. It's been bothering me the whole time we've been talking. Like, I didn't say their names.
If this is your first episode of the Sneaker History Podcast, welcome. We are co-hosts, but more importantly, we're buddies. Like, there's a chemistry here that we hope feels that it was applicable through your speakers, and you kind of sense that, hey, we may be co-hosts in names, but we're friends in actuality.
Facts.
Very well said. Well, please leave a review, leave a like, follow, don't stalk. Have a great day. Peace.
See ya.
Mike, you got the button, though.
Oh, crap. Yep, I forgot I was in control of this.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.